Last Sunday, we continued to introduce two basic concepts necessary for understanding prophecy: the gap theory. Luke chapter 4, Jesus split a sentence out of Isaiah. He split the sentence right at a conjunction. If he hadn't split the sentence would have continued, and the day of vengeance. He stopped at that conjunction because he sat down and said, concerning what he had read up to that point, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes." Now, no prophecy of scripture is a private interpretation. With the whole book, you could have figured out that the two things described by Isaiah couldn't happen in immediate conjunction. There are enough passages of scripture, particularly in Isaiah himself, to know that there had to be a first coming, a suffering servant Messiah event. The passages that are fulfilled in Christ's own life from multiplied places. In fact, you could spend weeks just pulling them out of various passages. Psalms, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Daniel, Hosea. If you take the whole book, you would know that Isaiah's concise statement that describes the good news and the good tidings of coming to set at liberty the captive and to proclaim all the good news of the acceptable year of the Lord had to be separated from the day of vengeance, where he comes, as the passage would have it, where a watchman on the edge of a border portion of Israel cries out, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" The answer comes back, "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? I've tread in the winepress alone." The answer comes back, "And there was none with me." All of these passages, if laid down together, would have enabled one to put a question mark on Isaiah's statement and ask, why are these events put together? One which was the first coming events, and the other which obviously involved the second coming events. Now, by the way, we make these same contractual mistakes regarding the second coming. But let me continue. Isaiah, being quoted by Jesus, he stops at the conjunction and says, "This day, what he had just read is fulfilled." He couldn't continue because the rest of the sentence described the day of vengeance, which was yet to come. Gap theory. Now, Jesus is the authority for that. But you cannot understand sections of Scripture without recognizing that prophets will look through the eye of prophecy and they'll see a mountain range of events. And from the distance, these will compress together until they look like just one mountain. As you get closer to the events, details are filled in. Standing there, you see a gap between this peak and the next peak, and a gap here between this peak and the next peak. Oversimplifying the obvious. But people make the same mistake about the second coming. The second coming, if you take the whole scripture of God, encompasses many events. The Thessalonian letter makes it clear that there is a restrainer, a restraining force. An Antichrist cannot appear until that restraining force is removed, then he can appear. Thessalonian letter and other passages let it be known that part of the second coming is an appearing in the air and a meeting in the air. Also part of that second coming, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. Zechariah has it. It'll split in the middle and create a great valley between, through which escaping Jews will flee in that day. Likewise, the second coming is a catching away of the saints, and the second coming is a coming with the saints. And there is a Antichrist reign that must occur for a given period of time, and yet he can't appear until the catching away removes the restraining force that lets him appear. Close analysis will show that there are gaps in this second coming period also. And that's why people have debated over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all other such theories of the rapture. Without an understanding of this telescopic method of prophecy that sometimes in one place encompasses many events that must be separated through application of other scriptures that fill in the gaps and separate the peaks, you'll never understand prophecy. That's why some prophecy preachers will pick up a particular verse and build a very plausible theory around it. And if you look with telescopic tunnel vision, the theory stays plausible. No prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. You've got to gestalt and fill in the details of the whole book. Now, with that understanding, plus the other one, which I spent more time on last Sunday, the reality of demon forces, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. I wanted to preach on Gideon today, but I am determined to get back into Revelation verse by verse. Daniel is praying. Ninth chapter, page 972, if you got a Bible like mine. If you don't, ninth chapter of Daniel. Daniel is praying because he has seen in the books that Jeremiah, as God's voice, had indicated they would be in bondage 70 years. Learning from the books that 70 years was the promised limit on the bondage, he began to pray for God to give him assurance that the Jews in bondage in Babylon would be able to return after the 70-year period. He got more than that. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, verse 21, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. He had prayed that God would keep his promise to only allow the bondage to last 70 years, as prophesied by Jeremiah. Now God is going to show him not 70 years, but 70 weeks of years. What's 70 times 7? 490 years. Not 70 years. Yes, God's going to do that. Take him back after 70 years. But now he's going to tell Daniel what he is going to do in 490 years with the Jewish people. Now, I love to find God boxing himself in like this. I wish I could find a verse that specific on thou shalt have $700,000 above budget in 8 days. But it is passages like this that give us the faith to claim promises that can work faster than 7 days. Don't have limits on them. When you catch God uttering a promise like this, and I paused on the word catch, when you realize that he said this is a better way to put it, you have those faith-building performances that Paul's talking about when he says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. For God to be this specific gives you a handle to grab and observe the way in which God keeps his word. Daniel is able to see the 70-year promise. We're going to see the 490-year promise. 70 weeks are determined upon who? Now, my people have learned to distinguish between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Thy people, Daniel, was of the southern kingdom, Judah, the Jews. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This is a promise precise and specific to the Jew. And upon thy holy city. Where was he from? Jerusalem. That's pretty specific. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Look in the margin. The alternate is to restrain the transgression. Well, what's that mean? Well, let's leave it there for a minute. What is the transgression? I wrote it until you couldn't read it, so we'll leave it there. To make an end of sins. Now, the historicist in prophecy says, without even bothering to define what it means to end or restrain the transgression, how many believe that sin has been sealed up or ended? Now, I give away a book on the pyramid, and it always bothers me that I can't find the time to write my own or rewrite that one as a supplement, because after the wonderful work on the pyramid, it interprets Daniel at the end. You that have read the book, as a historicist will. Now, the historicist says Daniel's 70th week has already occurred, that all 70 weeks of the prophecy to the Jew is finished, done. How many of you have noticed that in the pyramid book, that the last few pages of the book present that philosophy. And I say over and over again, I don't support that theory. I'm giving you the book for the diagrams and for the pyramid study, not for that prophetic interpretation at the end. Here's why. In the 490 years, transgression must be finished or restrained. Sin must be ended or sealed up. Now, why does the sealed up translation work? What's going to happen to Satan during the millennium? Now, I've been teaching you long enough that I can sort of build on some foundations. Remember Revelation 20? He sees the star come from heaven with a great chain in his hand, the key to the bottomless pit, and he lays hold on that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, binds him 1,000 years, and casts him into the abyss, or bottomless pit. Again, the Hebrew doesn't give you any clue as to which is the better translation. The context and the totality of Scripture determines the interpretation. We know that Satan is released for a little season after the millennium, right? And he goes straight to the land of Gog and Magog, occupied by Russia today. And he will find a remainder seedbed there that will respond to his evil desires, and a second approach on Jerusalem will occur, only this time, instead of the Battle of Armageddon, where a sword goes out of the mouth of our Lord and kills them all, which is why I tell you there will not be a nuclear holocaust until Armageddon and after. And after Armageddon's the 1,000 years of peace, there might be something similar to it after the millennium, because as Satan inspires the remnants of Gog and Magog to come and surround the city Jerusalem, fire from heaven destroys them. Then God is in a position, after the great white throne judgment, to make all things new again, and John sees a new heaven and a new earth, and it all makes sense. But obviously, we know the millennium's 1,000 years, and there's only 490 years here for God to do his job. We therefore cannot, if we look at the whole book, allow the interpretation of the historicists that the 70 weeks are finished, because the sealing up of sin hasn't occurred yet. I guess you're too smart. I'm making it too simple. Make reconciliation for iniquity. Let's put them all down. These are the things that must happen. One, restrain transgressor. Transgression must either be finished or restrained. You got to follow this around now. Two, end sins or seal up. Now, seal up would take into account if sin is synonymous with Satan and his work, he will be sealed up in the abyss. If the transgression is the result of Satan and his work, he is restrained when he's sealed up. And he is furthermore restrained because Michael will be turned loose, the book of Revelation says, finally to resist him and throw him out of the heavenlies and restrain his activity to only this earth. Am I going to, am I boring you?
No, sir.
To make reconciliation for iniquities. Well, obviously, he did that at Calvary. So the third one is done when Jesus dies on Calvary. To bring in everlasting righteousness. I don't think that's happened yet. I really don't. The moral majority has not yet accomplished that. And I understand Pat Robertson has declared himself the president. Reverend Robertson, the Republican. Reverend Jackson, the Democrat. They're charging the White House from both sides, and the monkeys are hemmed in now. I mean, you get two reverends charging on the White House, they may finally make it white. But I don't think it's happened yet. Bring in everlasting righteousness. Bring it in. Bring it in. Everlasting righteousness. Seal up the vision and prophecy. What's that mean? Seal up the vision and prophecy. Well, it means get done what he says here. This is the vision and this is the prophecy. You're complicated. Some people would preach months on that and make it sound mysterious. And to anoint the most holy. What's that mean? Six now. Anoint, you just have to write over these things, you know. Anoint the most holy. Takes a quick mind to follow me. I can assure you that that is not the election of either Pat Robertson or Jesse Jackson to the president. Let's save that. Let's have a little bit of mystery. I can tell you it hasn't been done yet. All of those things have to be done in 490 years. Now, for the historical position to be valid, though I think there's some sense of double fulfillment, which is another law of prophecy that could be applied, for the theory, for example, in the last pages, and the more I talk about it, the more I'm convinced I shouldn't give that book away anymore. I need a week off. Write one myself. What we need to do. You know, in fact, I have laying on my desk a contract from Harper & Row waiting my signature. In which they want me to do a pyramid book. I think I should. But I tell you, it's going to require a $2 million budget for August, I can tell you that for sure. And I don't want to wait any 490 years for that budget. Now, I'm taking a slow tack on this today because the whole church world's been divided for centuries over the futurist view of this 70-week prophecy and the historicist view. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out. All of these things must be accomplished. Isn't that what he says? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do all this. Therefore, if it's already started somewhere, and the clock is ticking the 490 years, and the 490-year calendar has run, or more than 490 years has exhausted since the clock started ticking on the 490, and every item is not completed, ipso facto, to use the Latin, there must be a gap inserted there somewhere. You understand that? Follow that? The gap has to be there. The question that comes is, where is the gap? If we can conclude that the 490 years that God allotted to do every one of these things with the Jew Now, the anoint the most holy. Let me stop on that for a minute. That I said it's not the election of Pat Robertson or Jesse Jackson. I'd like to make sure we publicize that early, lest that they use that to try to square his votes. If either one of them starts quoting Daniel chapter 9, that their election is the anointing of the most holy, I have warned you. Now, some say that was when the anointing came on Christ and he declared, "This is my beloved Son." Well, at the most, that could be an application of the law of double fulfillment. The reference point is the restoration of the temple during the millennium. If anything, and the establishment of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These events, in short, have not happened. Now, the question is, did any of them start? Did the first of the 490 years start rolling? If it did, God has allotted 490 years to do every one of these items. And if it started already, and 490 years have passed on the calendar, and all of them aren't done, obviously there's a gap. Where's the gap? Well, let's figure out first where it starts. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, you'd be surprised how much fighting has been done over which of three edicts started it. I preached one Sunday here a long time ago on which of the three edicts and why. But at this point, it doesn't really matter because they were close enough together that they all started within less than a century of each other. And there have been several centuries since the starting point of all three of those debated dates. There is a clear starting point given, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, of which commandment? The one that sent the bunch with Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, recorded in the book of Ezra, or the next bunch, or the bunch that went with Nehemiah. Well, that's another subject. Just let me say this and give you dates today and prove it as I come back to it at a later Sunday to refresh your memory on why we pick a certain one of the three alternate commandments. There has to be a commandment. The most obvious one's the one of Cyrus. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, if Christ is the Messiah, and you can accurately find his dates, you can go back from him and find the starting point. But you don't have to do that. There are historic dates that pin down this decree. We know that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many is that? 62. Right? And 7 weeks, 69. Is that correct? 69. Well, I've got to find a blank spot. 69 weeks. Now, what's 69 weeks? 400 and what? 83 years. From the edict to build, to restore, and to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. We already got a break. 483 years encompasses the edict to Messiah the Prince. Break one. Now, break does not necessarily mean gap, but it's a logical place to put the gap. I don't think I've ever gone this slow. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
This is foundation stuff. It's like learning the vocabulary before you talk, or learning basic math before you use it. Not the kind of preaching that people just swing from the rafters over. Now, Fresno just dying to come back when we swing from the rafters. They'll be watching a long time, won't they? A gap is presupposed because the period started already. And more than 490 years have run since the start, so there has to be a gap. There is a suggestion of a break point. 69 weeks from the going forth of the commandment to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince should be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Why didn't they just say 69 weeks, 69 weeks? Why is it broken into 62, 62, and 7? Doesn't that raise a question mark? A second break is suggested. That's why I said that way. No necessity of a gap is maintained, but obviously we've got 62, break. 7, break. 1, equal 70. Real complicated math here in this church. Now, did you notice that I did it wrong? Huh? It should be 7, 62, 1, 70. Is that the way it reads? From the going forth. Now, some people want me to get in the king's chamber or the pyramid. There ain't no way, friends, until we get this basic stuff done. I don't use the pyramid to interpret Scripture. The pyramid cast in stone illustrates Scripture rightly divided and confirms Scripture rightly divided. I know the pyramid's dramatic and gets attention because people are so tired of hearing poor Bible teachers spout. Anything's better than what you hear all day Sunday. But the necessity for understanding the king's chamber and the queen's chamber in the pyramid is understanding the scriptural framework rightly divided. Because the pyramid separates its prophecies into three camps. The world at large under the influence of Satan. Those that have been delivered by the power of Christ. And then the elected ones that were chosen for whom God will carry out His word in spite of themselves because He gave it to Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and David. Unless we can understand the right foundation of Scripture without the mushy brain stuff that's peddled from Hunt and Peck here, I can never take this into the pyramid. You got to work with me. From. Come on now, say it with me. From. The going forth. Come on. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 49 years. That's the first break. Is there a gap? We don't know yet. But if there's going to be one, that's a logical point. God's given us a hint. 7 weeks. And, come on,
and
62 weeks. 62. How many years is that? Come on, mathematicians. 483 minus 49. 434. 434 years. Where's the last week? Not in that scripture, is it? What is going to happen during this 483 years broken into two parts, 7 and 62. What's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Restore. Wait a minute. Finish the transgression, make an end to sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint the Most Holy. Maybe so, maybe no. This is what it says will happen in 62 weeks. Watch it. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again. And the wall, even in troublesome times. What about all this other stuff? Finish transgression, make an end to sin, make reconciliation, iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision of prophecy, anoint the Most Holy. Still dangling. I want you to know I'm very godly teaching the way I teach. He's always leaving things unfinished. Well, does it take him 7 weeks and 62 weeks? To build the street and the wall in troublesome times, 483 years to build the street and the wall in troublesome times. No. Read the next verse. And after 62 weeks, now that, let's read that with me. 26. Read it with me. And after 62.
And 2 weeks
shall Messiah be cut off. Why didn't he? That's enough. I'm all done with you now. Why didn't they say after 62 weeks and 7 weeks? It doesn't make sense. I mean, he says up here, from the going forth the command, restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Then blah. Pause. Colon. Which isn't in the original. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Now let's rewrite these verses until they make some sense. These damn King James people are so full of confusion, nobody can straighten them out without Scott's help. Punctuation's not in the original.
You ready? Let's do it till you can understand it. Like my uncle said. He said, if God wanted you to understand the Bible, why didn't write the damn thing till you could? That was my uncle. He also wouldn't read the Bible for fear he'd find something in it that would convict him. He figured as long as he didn't know it, he was saved. I'm a miracle considering my relatives. Let's rewrite this right. You ready? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, period. You got a colon there, haven't you? Not the kind inside your stomach. Two dots, one above the other. Is that what you got? Eliminate the colon. Put a period. End the sentence right there. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's a very simple statement, and it should end right there. 69 weeks broken into two parts, a 7 week part and a 62 week part, and from the going forth of the commandment to restore until Messiah the Prince shall be 69 weeks broken into two parts, 7 plus 62. Period. Got that? Say it. Period. It's like before they got real modern in medicine, you took the colon out, they died. If that doesn't help you remember it, I don't know what will. Okay? Period. One more time. Period. Capital letter. After the colon and the period. The capital letter. Put it in there. I'm not seeing pens move. Correct that, King James. It was not dictated to Moses on Mount Sinai. They left their own prophetic viewpoint, forced the translation, and the translators put in the punctuation. It wasn't in the original. Put a capital letter there. Period. Now we start all over again. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. Put a parenthesis in after troublesome times and write it italicized, added by the translator Gene Scott. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. 7 weeks. That's why the original statement was broken into two parts. 7 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Parenthesis. 7 weeks. You got it? And after 62 weeks. Another 62. Shall Messiah be cut off? See, the only thing that Daniel didn't say, because it's assumed, is he states from the edict to build until Messiah the Prince should be 7 plus 62. Period. Now let's discuss the 7 first, so you'll understand why I broke it into two parts, Daniel talking. From the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times, 7 weeks or 9 years.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.